Welcome to Harvest Mission Community Church. You are listening to one of our sermons.
Hi, church. How are you doing? I hope all of you are doing well. Thank you for praying for us. We are just finishing off our time in Kunming, and we are now heading over to Dali. So we are excited for all that God is going to be doing. We are praying for you as well. So we pray that you'll be blessed. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll be looking at the first 15 verses as we continue in our series. I want us to remember why we started this whole series for the summer called Practices. One of the most important things that we really want to see happen in our church is that we will grow in our intimacy with Jesus. That's one of the things that we've been praying about. Also, another thing that we want to see is that all of us will go deeper in our discipleship relationships, because we don't want just Christianity just to be a surface level, but we really want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And third and lastly, as you know, we're in a whole new season, so we want to get ready for this new year that's coming up. So I pray that this series will prepare us and get us ready for all that God is going to do. And I just want to review, if some of you are joining us for the first time, if you remember last week, we talked about this idea of the practice. The first practice that we talked about was the practice of praise. And the reason why this was important was that because we talked about how our satisfaction in Jesus will lead to our adoration of Jesus. And we do this by acknowledging his greatness and affirming the goodness of who he is in our lives. And today we're going to talk about the practice of giving. And this is such an important topic. And I wanted to just start off by asking a question. I'm wondering how many of you have been a recipient of someone else's generosity. I hope all of us can testify that we have been blessed because someone has been generous to us, whether they gave us something, maybe even spending extra time with us, maybe just using just the gifts that they have and to bless us. And whatever it may be, that when we are recipients of someone else's generosity, it really does something to us. It opens our hearts. It makes us a little bit more favorable towards that person. And what it does is that it really allows the gospel to be demonstrated before us. And that's why what I wanted to do is that I want to show you this video, because I think this is going to really help illustrate the point that I want to make. And this video is was captured by somebody in a car, and they saw something on the street because there was a traffic jam. And they saw this little boy who looked like it was a person who's like on the street, a little boy. And he ended up talking with someone in a car who happens to be another boy in the back seat. And I want you to watch this and see how they interact together and see the beauty of just this heart of generosity that oftentimes goes both ways. So let's watch this together. Wasn't that amazing? I'm wondering what the world would be like if we had more of those people and incidences in our lives where we're generous to one another, regardless of socioeconomic background, regardless of who we are, what we've experienced in life. And I'm praying that that is something that we will all experience. You know, there's something that happens as we start getting older. And I know many of you are very young. And one of the things we forget is that when we start getting older, for some reason, we think that everything that we have is really ours, rather than seeing it as everything belongs to God. And one of the things that you will have to guard your heart on is that as you get older, oftentimes there is this tendency to get more greedy or to hoard things, rather than really seeing that everything that you have is really been given to us by God, and we freely use that to bless other people. I love what Tim Keller said in his book, Generous Justice. Listen to what he says. He says, a lack of generosity refuses to acknowledge that your assets are not really yours, but God's. What a great reminder that when we lack the sense of generosity, then we begin to think that everything is ours, but it's really God's. C.S. Lewis says it in a different way, but in the same manner. He says this in his book, Mere Christianity. He writes this, nothing that you have not given away will ever really be yours. So pretty much what he's saying is that when you die, everything that's left, is still not yours. And so that's why generosity and having this heart of giving is such a vital part to your spiritual journey and even growing in your intimacy with Christ. And that's why using our time, treasure, and even talents that we have to use it for the glory of God is so important to our deeper discipleship that we want to experience. So we want to take this time to go into huddle groups. And here are two questions that I want you to talk about. And once again, because we don't have much time to discuss it, just jump right in. Or you could just choose one of the questions, whichever is easier. The first question is this: what is your reaction to the interaction between the two boys in the video? The second question is, do you think it is easier to be kind and generous when you are younger or older, and why? So enjoy the time together. We pray that you will have this great time of fellowship. I hope you had a good time interacting with one another. Now as you're coming back, we want to start and just talk about this practice of giving. And as we talked about, we really do want to see this summer being a time where we can all grow together, because we're on this journey and we want to do it together. And so as we talk about this practice of giving, let me give us the one thing. The one thing is simply this, that a heart of generosity displays a gospel reality. Let me say it again, that a heart of generosity displays a gospel reality. There are two things that we must remember when we talk about how a heart of generosity will display a gospel reality. The first point is this, that the gospel changes our motivation. That the gospel changes our motivation. Before we read our passage, I want to give some context to this passage. Earlier in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, as you know, there's 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And in his first letter to the Corinthians, he shares some specific needs that the church in Jerusalem had. And what he was doing was he was trying to challenge the believers in Corinthians to participate and to help out the church in Jerusalem as they were in need. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 through 3 in the New Living Translation. It says this: now regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. On the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. When I come, I will write letters of recommendation for the messengers you choose to deliver your gift to Jerusalem. So what we see here is Paul clearly states in that first letter to prepare some collection or some offering so that that could be given now, a messenger being sent to Jerusalem so that money can then be given to the needs in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem. And now in the second letter, as we are going to be reading, we see that Paul gives specific instructions of how this offering would be collected to the believers in Jerusalem. Now, here's a problem. When we look at this letter, one of the things that you will have to note is that the Corinthian believers did not like the fact that they were being asked to give up their resources for others. I think this is why in this chapter, Paul is giving a challenge to the people about the importance of giving and how it is connected to the understanding of the gospel message. So here's Paul. And he's going to challenge the believers with this right motive that we should have for generosity. And he does this by giving two examples. Let me talk about those two examples. The first point that I want to make here is that we see here the unexpected demonstration of generosity. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 1-5. And as we read this, I want you to see this idea of how there is this unexpected demonstration of generosity. So if you look at this verse, it says this, starting from verse 1, it says in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, it says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace that God has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Let's just pause here. I want to talk about these first five verses. We have to note that the churches in Macedonia, it made up of churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, and also in Berea. And the reason why their giving was unexpected was because not only did they not have much, but you will clearly see here that they were going through severe persecution and suffering. So I want you to just pause here and think about this. Here are these churches in these areas of Philippi, as well as Thessalonica and Berea. And as they're going through persecution and suffering, and that area was not as rich as the Corinthian church, but it was these people that actually gave to the needs of the church in Jerusalem. Now, in spite of all this, as they were going through persecution and suffering and they didn't have much, we notice in verse 2 that even though they went through this, there was an abundance of joy that overflowed with the heart of generosity. I want to read to you the Message translation so you can have a better understanding. And you can go ahead and read the yellow section out loud with me. Listen to what it says. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limit. The trial exposed their true colors. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. The pressure triggered, and let's say this together, something totally unexpected. An outpouring of pure and what? Generous gifts. So it was these churches who did not have much that ended up giving sacrificially and being generous. They gave willingly, even beyond their means. This is something I want us to kind of think about. Is that oftentimes when we have a lot, when things are going well, we think to ourselves, oh, that's when we're going to give the most, or we're going to help people out. But that's not always the case. What we learn here is that in the midst of difficulties and struggles and persecution and hardships, and even though they did not have much, these were the people who actually gave. Listen to what Paul says to the church in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, listen to what it says. And you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving. And listen to what it says, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. So what Paul was saying was that here are the people in Philippi, part of the churches of Macedonia, where they were poor, they were struggling, they were going through difficulties, but they were the ones who gave to Paul's ministry. In fact, in verse 4, as we read, the phrase begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part, listen to what it says in other translations of that phrase. In the New Living Translation, it says, they begged us again and again for the privilege. The Message translation, if you read the yellow section, listen to what it says, pleading for the privilege of helping out. And in the New American Standard Bible, it says, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation. So what do we notice here? Is that here are these people who are going through difficulties in their lives. They were asking for the privilege to be able to serve, to be able to give. They were asking and urging that they will be able to have the favor of participating in the giving, even though they were going through difficult times. I'm wondering if this is your attitude when it comes to giving. Like I said earlier, it is always easy to think that when things are going well or we're really successful, we have all this money, that's when we're going to be generous. But something that I've learned over the years is that's not always the case. When my wife and I, we were starting our church back in Michigan in 1996, just the months prior, we were trying to raise up funds. And we had no idea what we were doing. We were clueless. Honestly, we were just trying to plant a church at the University of Michigan. And we're excited to just go there to share the gospel with many university students. And in the midst of that, we were writing up support letters. We were writing about what we're doing, what God was putting in our hearts, and what we believed that God was going to do through the gospel as we reached out to college students. So we took some pictures, we wrote this letter, and we sent it off to all the people that we knew. And back then, we didn't really have email, so we literally printed it out, folded it up, put it in envelopes, put the stamp on, and we sent it out to all our friends. And by this time, a lot of our friends graduated from university and they were working. And when my wife and I were talking, we were pretty excited because we knew that some of the friends that we had, that they were going to be generous, because why? Now they have jobs. Now they have money that they were going to be able to support us. And we were praying. I mean, we weren't expecting them to give a lot, but we're just at least expecting that they will somehow participate in this church plant, even though they cannot be a part of it. So we prayed, we laid our hands on it, and we sent it out. And here's something that we learned. All the people that we expected that would give did not give. And I think in some ways it saddened us and it kind of broke our hearts as we thought about it. We thought they were our friends. We thought they believed in God's mission. But you know who were the people that gave? There were those that we knew personally that they did not have a lot of money. They were the ones, some of them were also in the ministry, knowing that they didn't have much, but they were the ones who gave. And I remember when we received the check and they were praying for us and they wrote a little letter, we wanted to give it back to them because we were thinking they probably need it more than we do. But that was a really important lesson that Christina and I, we learned early on as we were about to plant the church, that it's not always the people who have a lot that are the ones who are generous. It's the people that sometimes don't have much. They're going through difficulties in their lives as well. But they're the ones who are generous and who give. That's why in verse 5, we see that their giving was unexpected. Why? Because once again, the Macedonian believers decided to give on their own initiative. Paul didn't ask them, knowing that they were suffering, knowing they didn't have much, but they were the ones in their own initiative to say, we want to get involved. How do we give? And when you think about that, Paul says they first gave to the Lord, and then they gave to others because they knew that it was the will of God. This is why I keep on saying the gospel can change our motivation when it comes to generosity. I'm wondering for you, have you experienced the gospel? Has it changed your motivation when it comes to giving? Why do you give? Or if I can ask, why is it that you don't give? I'm wondering if you genuinely have experienced the power of the gospel in your life. The heart of generosity really displays a gospel reality that has taken hold of our hearts. So not only the unexpected demonstration of generosity by the Macedonian church, but the second subpoint that I want to mention is this. We see the ultimate demonstration of generosity. So let's go ahead and read verse 6-9. This is what the Word of God says. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so that he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. See, the Apostle Paul, what he was saying was he was challenging the believers in Corinth that they were excelling in all these different gifts. And you know in the church of Corinth, just even in the first letter, it was talking about all the different spiritual gifts. So they were excelling in these gifts. They were using it to do ministry. But he also says, that's great, but make sure you also excel in giving. In verses 6-7, we will notice that Paul refers to giving as an act of grace. It is an act of grace. So giving is a demonstration of grace, which is done out of love. It is something that God has to give into us, and we do it willingly in a response to what he has given to us. To emphasize the importance of demonstrating love by giving, the Apostle Paul gives Jesus as the ultimate example of generosity. And we see this in verse 8 and 9, We must remember that Christ, what he did was he became what? He became poor. But who was the one who was really poor? It was the people. But he became poor, Jesus did, so that they, the people in Corinth, so they will be the ones that is now rich. When in fact, Jesus was the one who was rich. So think about that. Here's Jesus who was rich, and here are the people who are poor. He who was rich became poor, so those who were poor now became rich. So what Paul is trying to help people to see is not only look at these Macedonian believers. They didn't have much. They were going through suffering. But they were urging us to participate and have the privilege of giving. And not only looking at the Macedonian church, look at Jesus, who is this ultimate example that he who was rich became poor so that we who are poor can now become rich. That's why Jesus used his prosperity to make those who are poor prosperous. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Listen to what it says in the New Living Translation. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Then he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. What do we see here? That he became poor so that we can be rich for the glory of God. That's why a heart of generosity displays this gospel reality. The gospel changes our motivation. At this time, we're going to go into huddle groups. And I want us to just think about what I just shared in this first point with these two subpoints. And the question is this: why do you think it's hard to see giving as a privilege to participate in God's purpose? What makes it so difficult? The second question is this: how should Jesus' sacrifice and generosity towards us motivate us to be generous to others? So once again, because the limited time, you can go ahead and just answer one, or hopefully if you could answer two, that would be great. So enjoy your time together. Welcome back. Hopefully you had a great time in your huddle group. Let's close out with the second point. We talked about, first of all, that how the gospel changes our motivation. I want to talk about now how the gospel not only changes our motivation, but it changes our mindset. In closing, Paul addresses some of the mindset that the Corinthian believers had. And the thing is that many of them did not follow through on their commitment in wanting to give. And that's why they had this mindset of poverty or scarcity. And we're going to highlight that as we look at this rest of this passage. And then I think what that does is it makes us trust in ourselves rather than God. So let me talk about the two mindsets that are needed when we experience the gospel. And he's addressing some of the mindset that they had by telling us these are the two mindsets that we need. The first one is this, that we must have an accountable mindset. This mindset that really desires accountability. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 10 through 11. Listen to what the word of God says. It says this: and in this manner, I give my judgment, this benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. Let's pause here and look at this. In these two verses, what we see is that Paul is reminding the Corinthian believers that what they have already committed themselves to in supporting the church in Jerusalem, he's simply saying, fulfill it, finish it. You said you were going to do it, so finish it in the things that you said you were going to accomplish. They had this desire to give back then, which he clearly states it was about a year ago. And now he's trying to challenge them to be faithful. Why? Because they were not faithful in the very things that they have said. It's kind of interesting that the Apostle Paul mentions their willingness. They were willing to do it, but now we see that it did not turn into action. I want us to think about how this is so relevant to us, and this in many ways describes us. How many of us have a willingness to do something, but it never gets translated into action? Many of us want to be healthy. But what happens late at night when we see that ramen package or when we hear McDonald's calling us? You know, even though you have a willingness to be healthy, but we end up eating things that are unhealthy. So we understand that just a willingness is not enough that translates into action. We must remember that a desire or this sense of willingness is no substitute for action. I remember when we were in Michigan, we had a guest speaker, we had a missionary who spoke at one of our gatherings. And as he was preaching, he was talking about just being having a life of sacrifice. And one of the things that he shared was about giving, just being faithful to giving, giving of our resources, giving up our time so that we could love people and serve them. And as he was preaching and we closed out and spent some time in prayer and we worshiped, and after everything was done, as we were kind of having fellowship and people were talking, as we were ready to go out, this one person came up to me and wanted to receive prayer. And I said, "What can I pray for you about?" And this person said, "I really feel like God spoke to me." And I said, "Well, that's great. What did he speak to you about?" And he said something that caught my attention. He said, "God spoke to me about giving a certain amount of my income to God's work." And as a pastor, that's like music to my ears. I'm like, "Brother, I think that's the will of God." I go, "Well, that's great." And I said, let's pray together. Because I really wanted him to be faithful. If this is really God speaking to him, I wanted him to be faithful in obedience to him and allowing God to use his obedience to bless others. So I remember praying for him, praying that he will be faithful to the conviction that God has laid in his heart. And this is my confession. I was telling some of the people who were in charge of the stewardship team, and I told them, I go, "Get ready. We're going to have probably a big donation coming in." And I didn't give a name or anything like that. And I didn't know, you know, as many of you know, I don't know who gives and how much. So I just said, "Just get ready." And a week later, I go, "Did something happen?" I was wondering, did a big donation come in? And they're like, "No, it's the same amount." So I'm like, maybe just he needs more time and maybe God will continue to speak to him. Another week passed by. And just out of curiosity, I said, "Did something come in?" Because I really feel like God spoke to this person. They said they were going to go, "No, it's the same amount." And this went on for another week or so. And afterwards, I just realized that here is a person who heard the word of God. They got convicted. They had a willingness, but it did not translate into action. I share this because here's Paul, who understood that a year ago that the people in Corinth, they were so excited and eager to give to the church in Jerusalem. But because there was no accountability and no follow-up, and after a year passed, we realized that they did not fulfill what they promised that they will do. And I think it's so easy to make promises but not follow through. And this is the reason why we need this mindset of accountability. And here's Paul directly telling these people, "You had this willingness a year ago, but I want you to finish it. Finish it by being faithful in your giving." I think for many of us, one of the things we forget is that God blesses us so that we don't hoard things to ourselves, but we learn how to be a blessing to other people. And this is the part that I think we need accountability. We need to have this accountable mindset to say the things that we know that God has blessed us with, how can we now be accountable in terms of following through and being a blessing to other people? Listen to what Randy Alcorn said in his book, The Treasure Principle. He writes this: "God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. God gives us more money than we need so that we can give generously." What a great reminder, and why it is that we need this accountable mindset. Oftentimes, and many of you who are listening to me, is that if you're a college student, you're not even thinking about this because you don't have that much money. Some of you are on scholarship. Some of you are just taking the allowance that your parents give you. But to those of you who are working, I want to talk to you heart to heart. And what I want to share with you is this. I think for many of us, God in his infinite wisdom and his grace upon our lives, he gives us jobs and he gives us things that we don't deserve, but he gives more than enough. And the problem is, instead of seeing it as, God, you have blessed me with this, how can I now bless other people? How can I be a part of what, God, you're doing in this church? And so I can give to that work. What we do is we upgrade our lifestyle. So we get a promotion so that we want a bigger apartment. We get a promotion so we want more gadgets. We get a promotion so we want to do more things, go on more vacations. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't think there's anything wrong with any of those things. But here's the challenge for us. When there are needs and there are people around you that are in need, and every single time we're getting promoted or we're being blessed and God has given us more than enough, it is not to upgrade our lifestyle. But maybe what God is trying to say is, I'm giving you this so that you could be a steward and so that you could use it to bless other people. I'm wondering what your life will be like, what my life will be like, what our lives will be like in our church if we had that kind of mentality. That, God, you have given us so much and you're giving us more than enough so that we could be a blessing to other people. So not only are we need this accountable mindset, but the second point that I want to mention here is that we must have an abundance mindset. Not only an accountable mindset, but an abundance mindset. Let's close out and read verses 12 through 15. Listen to what the Word of God says. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathers much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. So here, what we see in verse 12, Paul talks about the principle of proportionality, this proportionate giving. Now, there's some significance to this, because there were some people in the church of Corinth who were very, very bitter. Because this is what they're thinking. Why is it that we who have these resources, yes, God has blessed us, why do we have to give so much to the church in Jerusalem? And how about some of these other people? Why aren't they giving at the same amount? So what Paul is trying to teach the people here is that it is not so much about how much you give, the amount, but it's about the proportion to what you have. I think this is the reason why tithing, which is giving 10% of our income, is one of the ways to give proportionally. So put it this way. If somebody, let's just say we have $100 compared to someone who has $1,000. So if you give 10%, the amount will be different, but the sacrifice will be the same. So that is what Paul is trying to teach. It's not about the amount that's important. Because for the Corinthian church, they were wealthy, so they were giving more. But what he was trying to help them to understand is that it's about proportionate giving. Are you making the same sacrifice as some of these other people are, even though they have less? That's why when we think about 10%, one thing that I want to mention is this. A lot of us, we think that, oh, I give my tithe, I give 10%, so I'm good. But what I want you to understand is that in the New Testament, it never talks about tithe. Did you know that? 10% is just the base, because that's just a proportion of what God has given to us. But if you really look at the New Testament, what Jesus and even the apostles talk a lot about is not so much 10%, but it's about a heart of generosity. And if you put it all together, it will be probably more than 10%. Listen to what Donald S. Whitney said in his book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. I thought this was very insightful. Listen to what he says. The more you prosper, the higher should be the proportion of your giving. There is no percentage goal in giving. Giving 10% of your gross income does not necessarily mean you have fulfilled the will of God. That's not a ceiling of giving to stop at, but a floor to move from. Isn't that awesome? Is that 10% is not the ceiling. I've given 10%, I'm good. and I get to spend the 90% on myself. But what he's saying is the 10% is the minimum, the floor, in which now we look at other needs and to give. Can I just challenge some of us? You know, one of the things that breaks my heart is that when we look at our giving records, and like I said, and this is something that I have been true to for the last almost close to 30 years in our church in Michigan, as well as our church here in Hong Kong. I do not look at who gives and how much they give. All I do is get a report of where we are in terms of our income and our expenses. And then I look at it, whether we're in the red or in the black. And sometimes there's a deeper dive and we break it up in terms of how many people we have and how many people are actually tithing. Did you know that if every single person in our church, every single person tithe, we will have double, if not triple, the amount of income that we can use now to do things that God has called us to do. What that simply means is that the situation we are in right now, where we're sometimes in the red, sometimes there are things that we cannot do, we gotta pull back from because we realize that we don't have enough resources. The reason behind that is that there are a lot of people who are not really tithing. And this is why I think that we have to, being generous and giving is not something that you automatically are born with. It is a practice that you gotta learn, that you gotta be able to make it a spiritual habit to say, this is my worship unto God and I'm gonna give. So I wanna challenge all of us. And I know sometimes when the pastors are always talking about offering and giving, it's just that everyone tunes out, but I just really want to challenge us from the Word of God that what we see from this church in Macedonia, from the church in Philippi, in Thessalonica, in Berea, in this whole region, as they were suffering and going through difficult times, as they were poor, that they still gave. And God honored that. And to the Corinthian church, what do we see? As some of them were complaining, why is it that we're giving so much? What Paul is trying to argue for is very clear. What he's saying is that it's a mindset that we need the sense of accountability, that we want to be faithful to what God has given to us. And that is why I think when we think about the New Testament, it is really not so much the amount, but it's the heart of generosity. You know, as I thought about, and I talk about this quite often with people, having this scarcity mindset or this poverty mindset rather than this abundance mindset. And whenever we talk about it, one of the things that I mention is that those who have a scarcity or a poverty mindset, they will always operate on they don't have enough. And the more I began to meet people like this, I realized that it's something deeper than just we're not going to have enough. When you really probe into their lives, what I've noticed is this, that they don't really believe that God is good and that God is a provider and God is going to take care of them. It's really the sin of unbelief. Even though clearly in the Word of God, he tells us that he cares for us, he loves us, and that he will provide for us, that we could trust him, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. We know it, but we don't believe it. That's why we operate onto what is normal in our human flesh, which is a scarcity and a poverty mindset, that we're not going to have enough. So what do? We end up controlling everything. We end up hoarding things. We end up being stingy. We begin to calculate everything. Now, I'm not saying that you got to spend everything and be reckless and be in debt, because there's a lot of scriptures that talks about not being in debt. But it's learning how to see the resources that God has given you, to not use it for yourself alone, but to learn how to be a blessing to other people that he has called you to. And that's why in verse 14, Paul reminds the believers that if they're ever in need, that God will supply their needs through one another. There will be times when you're in abundance, Paul says, and that's when you should give. There will be times when you are in need, and that's when other brothers and sisters will be able to give. That's why we need to be content and learn how to use our abundance of resources, not to have more possessions, but to be more of a blessing. Listen to what Randy Alcorn said also in his book, the treasure principle. He writes this, the more you give, the more comes back to you. Because God is the greatest giver in the universe, and he won't let you outgive him. Go ahead and try, see what happens. God is so generous. You will never outgive him. So even as you give to others, he will always give more back to you. And in order to reinforce this principle, listen to what he says in verse 15. We read this. He mentions the story of the Israelites and how God provided manna in the wilderness. I want to read to you Exodus chapter 16, verse 18. And this is where that last phrase comes from. He says this, and read the yellow section with me. He says, but when they measured it out, say this together, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered, and what happened? A lot had nothing left over. And those who gathered, only a little had enough. Each family had, say this with me, just what it needed. So what Paul was saying was this. He says, as you are giving with this abundance mindset, and also as you're accountable, being faithful in your giving, what he's simply saying is that God will give us exactly what we need, and that the needs will be met. No one is going to be in want, and no one will have an oversupply. It will just be enough, because that's how God works. We have to have faith that God will give us what we need, and it will be enough for us. You know, when Christina and I, we got married in 1996, one of the things that we did, and we encourage anyone who gets married as we do premarital counseling, is to pick some verses where you want it to be the foundational verses for your marriage and for your future family. And we had three different verses, and one of the verses that we used was from the book of Proverbs. I want to read it to you in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 and 9. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says this, first, help me to never tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I might deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. Because we knew that we might not have all the things that some of our friends might have. But we were asking God, God, just give us just enough what we need, our daily bread. Don't give us too much, because then we're going to forget about you. We're going to trust in ourselves. And don't give us too little, because we might do things that will dishonor you. Just give us our daily bread. And God has answered that prayer for all these years, and God has been faithful. And a believer who experienced the gospel, the grace of God in their lives, they need to have this abundance mindset. Why? Because if you think about it, we have experienced the abundance of God's love, God's forgiveness, God's patience, God's unlimited grace and unlimited mercy. It's never run out. And that's why we must be able to give to the Lord. How about us this morning as we think about this? I'm just wondering, do you have an abundance mindset or a poverty mindset or a scarcity mindset? Are you being faithful in your tithes and offerings? Are you trusting that God will be faithful to you as he is the God of provisions in your life? Are you trusting in yourself, or are you trusting in God? The gospel changes our mindset. As we talked about this passage, this is really simply the gospel. Because when we look at verse 9 again, what do we notice? That God became poor so that we may become rich. He became poor by coming to this earth and dying on the cross, living the life that we could not live, dying the death that we should have died. But he did it because he wanted us to experience the full blessings that he has for us. And that's why we're blessed. And that's why when we know the gospel so deeply in our hearts, it causes us to be generous people. We'll be generous in our love. We'll be generous in our forgiveness. We'll be generous in our giving. Why? Because God has given so much to us. God has forgiven us. God has loved us. This is the reason why it is imperative that we understand that a heart of generosity really is displayed in and shows the gospel reality. So that's the one thing, is that a heart of generosity displays a gospel reality. Let me give us some quick next steps for us to think about. The first thing is this: be free from your idols. The reason why a lot of us, we are not generous people, is because we have idols in our lives that are holding us back from being generous. Some of us, our idol is the god of success. Some of us is the god of just material things. And some of us, it might be god of our, the god might be our image. And so whatever it is, sometimes those idols hinders us from really being generous. If we can just be free of those things and just worship Jesus and see him as our ultimate God, you will see a general heart of generosity begin to well up in your hearts. The second thing is this, is be firm in your conviction of generosity. Many of you who are young, because you don't have all the resources right now, you got to build up this conviction to be a generous person because of the gospel. Because once you start getting more resources and getting more money, it is really easy to get self-centered. To those of us who are working, and to those of you who have families, and I know that there are times when it's difficult financially. Can I just challenge us as we talk about the conviction of generosity? I'm just wondering if there's some things that we're going to cut back. I'm wondering if we have to budget well. And part of that budgeting is that I'm going to minimally give at least 10% to your work for the glory of God. The third thing is this, is be faithful in giving of our tithes and offerings. And I'm just going to invite Annie to come on up and share a little bit about some of the practical things. And so that we can really say, well, I want to give my tithes or offerings, but I don't know what to do. And how do you do this? So I'm going to just give her a few minutes here so that she can share with you about how to be faithful in our tithes and offerings. Thank you so much, Annie, for sharing about tithes and offering and how that's so important. And I pray that this is something that all of us will begin to practice throughout the summer and for the rest of our lives as we give to the work of the Lord. And let me just close with the fourth and last next step. And it's simply this, to be focused on the gospel. You know, when you want to develop this heart of generosity and practice the practice of giving, what it really requires is for us to not focus on ourselves, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The more you focus on him, the more you focus on this gospel of God became poor so that we could become rich. When we have an overabundance of his love and forgiveness and his patience, his love towards us, that's when we're going to be more generous. One challenge I always give, when are you the most generous? Think about that for a moment. Think about when you come back from a retreat, when you're so blessed, when you realize it's all about Jesus, when you realize it's about the gospel, you're thankful in your heart. You want to be grateful and you express that by being generous. Think about when you receive something that you don't deserve, like an A when you should have really gotten a C because you didn't study, or maybe that promotion that you really didn't deserve. Out of the thankfulness, we want to bless others. So focus on the gospel. It's all about Jesus. I want to close out with this video that I think will help summarize this kind of heart that we want to see in all of us who are Christ followers. What people started doing were these social experiments to see how people will respond to a certain situation. There were several social experiments that were done, and I'm going to show you two of them back to back. And it's in China, and I want you to watch and see how people responded to a specific need. And if it moves you, I want you to understand it is a display of the reality of the gospel, because it reflects the heart of Jesus. Now, I don't know if these people are believers or not, but all I do know is that when we become more like Jesus, it moves our hearts. Why? Because we are doing the very thing that Jesus would do, that he became poor so that we could become rich, not so that we could hoard and live for ourselves, but that we could be a blessing to other people. I pray that we will be a church that will be so generous with our time, with our treasures, with our talents, so that we will be able to bless many other people and bless nations. Let's start right now in the house of the Lord and be a blessing to the people in our church. as we give faithfully, as we serve Him, may He use us to bless other people. So let's watch this video together, and then afterwards we'll worship together and close out.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Mission Community Church podcast. For more information, visit our website at hongkong.hmcc.net.